Our reading is taken from the first verse up to the ninth verse of the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. We are reading from the NRSV English translation. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying within the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Listen to what the risen Christ is telling us today.
May the words we receive inspire us, heal us, and give us new life. Amen.
As someone from the Pentecostal tradition, so I remember Easter or the Resurrection Sunday as one of the busiest days in our calendar. So a friend, Jeb and I met 2 weeks ago, sabi niya, "Uy, bakit may oras ka para makipag-chikahan? Eh, 2 weeks na lang Easter na, di ba? Daming prep dapat." So ito yung first time na medyo relax ako ng Easter dahil alam naman natin sa mga simbahan, sobrang bongga. So, we used to spend months of preparation for choir pieces. And, you know, extra ng choir natin today.
Yes!
So, it's giving very, mega church vibes. So, lahat involved pagdating ng Easter. And you can almost taste the excitement and sometimes the exhaustion pagka panahon na ng Easter, dahil matatapos na yung 40 days ng Lent and all. So, and you can understand kung bakit. Dahil isa sa mga pinananaligan ng mga, lalo na ng mga evangelical, ay yung sinasabi sa scripture na if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain and your faith is in vain. So, we are a very triumphalistic church. At yung image namin ng Jesus ay isang Christus Victor. And it is a really big deal. Kaya very colorful, festive, and loud yung Easter. But an aspect that is sometimes downplayed by the people of the resurrection is that Easter and the crucifixion is intertwined. So life comes only after death. And in our former tradition, the death of Christ, the cross, was akin to the symbol of victory and of glory. But is it really? Let us walk through the resurrection account by looking at some of the characters in the narratives. So how should we deal with Easter? How can we find meaning in this occasion? First, let's look at the silenced Jesus. So we all know that Jesus was crucified. It was not a very glorious death. There was nothing majestic, nothing royal, and he just did not die. He was killed. Jesus was killed because he touched lepers. There was no contempt as he ministered to their bodies being eaten away by illness. He was killed because he openly conversed with women, with adulterers, with sinners, with the nobodies. Those who sought the best places on the table were frowned upon. For him, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Jesus was killed because he dined and partied with the misfits. He thought they were his equals. He enjoyed their company. He promised and proclaimed to those under Roman occupation, "Release the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to those who are oppressed." He also proclaimed a kingdom not like that of the empire. Of course, he was killed. Ultimately, he interfered with the temple business. You know, you don't interfere with church business. This was a big factor which led to this. Yes, we understand that if you speak ill against the empire and it's other institutional collaborators, like the temple, troubles and death will surely follow. We have heard stories of martyrs and those who came before us who were too proud, too loud, and who met their end. We have heard whispers of those who were nanlaban and the tragedy they encountered. We listened to the accounts of political prisoners who were tortured because of a glorious hope that they are dreaming. The crucifixion and death of Jesus was political. It is always political. Good Friday is the result of the collision of the passion of Jesus and the domination systems of his time. Yung passion niya at yung normalcy ng civilization, hindi nagmi-meet. The Jesus movement is that of compassion and of love, of economic sufficiency, of lasting peace, of public justice, and of righteousness. But what is routine in this world is that of violence. The normal is injustice. So the sin of the world, this injustice, caused Jesus to be crucified. His peaceful, symbolic, non-violent protest and resistance to imperial Roman oppression and the Jewish religious leaders made waves. Kaya, his death was certain. The one who came in a humble cult, who was called Messiah, was later seen hanging on the cross with his fellow criminals. He did not die for the sins of this world. Jesus was killed because of the sins of this world. Isa sa dahilan kung bakit nakatayo po ako sa harapan po ninyo ngayon ay dahil ako ay isang babae. At traditional sa ating simbahan na babae yung mag-preach tuwing Easter dahil sila yung mga witnesses. So let's look at the next characters, set of characters. So the suppressed women witnesses. So, alam naman natin, the death of Jesus brought fear. It brought sadness. Kaya nga, if you would look at the scriptures, isa sa mga description doon ay yung pagtayo nitong mga nanay niya, ng his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And they were pictured as people who wept and waited upon the Lord. When the men in the company of Jesus betrayed him, Judas, denied him, Peter, or went back home, the disciples from Emmaus, or accepted defeat and refused the vision Jesus once shared with them, the women stayed. In Luke, it was said that the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They were very surprised to see the stone rolled away and the missing body of Jesus. Two men in dazzling clothes told them that Jesus had risen. Context. Sabi ng Mark 16:11, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by Mary Magdalene, they would not believe, they referring to the disciples, the apostles. Verses 8 to 11 of Luke 24 said, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the disciples, na parang buhay si Jesus. But these words, sabi dun sa scripture, seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Akala ng mga apostol ay kahibangan, kadaldalan, at chismis lamang ang kanilang mga tinuran. Fake news daw ang dala nitong mga kababaihan. Kaya ayaw nilang paniwalaan. The women witnesses were silent. Pinatahimik dahil tila chismis lang raw ang mga tinuran nila. This is not a surprise. Bilang babae, alam natin yan. We're accustomed to receiving such comments. Women suffer from stereotypes like this until now. We're often labeled as emotional while men are cerebral. A friend and I, parang yung friend ni Jeb, high school friends niya, parang nagkukwento sila last Friday kung paano yung minister nung kasal nila, ganito yung sinabing stereotype. Parang yung babae dapat magstay, dapat ang kailangan niya ay affection dahil siya ay emotional. Kailangan ng support ng lalaki dahil siya yung magtatrabaho, he's the rational one. At galit na galit syempre yung kaibigan namin. And for them, yung ganun daw na character makes us unable to perform and to lead like men. Throughout history, women are silenced. In the pages of the stories of humankind, her narratives were hidden in between the lines. Even in the Bible, women are not accounted for. Halimbawa, dun sa pagpapakain ni Jesus, hindi naman kasama sa census yung mga kababaihan. We were not counted as witnesses. We were sidelined, neglected, and made quiet. And this is very evident, even up till now. So, punta tayo dun sa next character natin. Isa sa ating patron, si Maria Magdalena. One woman who received injustice from the hands of the people handling scripture was Mary Magdalene. Many were said about her. Sabi ni Maris nung ating Community Connect last Thursday, sabi niya, yung isa sa mga misconceptions patungkol sa kanya ay yung pagiging isa niyang prostitute. At alam naman natin na hindi yung totoo. Noong 1969, binawi na ng Simbahang Katoliko yung ganon. Meron silang statement. Pero for centuries, itong ganitong larawan ni Maria Magdalena ay very prevalent dun sa mga taong mananampalataya. Mary Magdalene's status has been diminished by her association to prostitution. It somehow makes her less. Like, she was not fit to be a leader. But this is not the case. So, kapit. Magigig ako konti. So, the Bible we have today is a product of transcription, translation, replication, parang DNA lang, no? Pero yung scribes, very meticulous sila dun sa proseso ng pagkukopya ng mga text. At itong mga text na to, binidikta sa kanila or meron silang text na pinagkukopyahan and all, tapos sinusulat nila meticulously, carefully. Pero madalas, may mga mistakes bilang ang haba naman po kasi ng mga ano, dahil kung titingnan natin yung mga parchment, yung mga manuscripts, sobrang ano, precious, mahaba, at kailangan maingat talaga. So, madilim. True. And madalas, meron silang mga nagagawang mga mistakes. May nawawalang letra, salita, nadodoble, and all. Minsan para silang mga lasing. At minsan, yung mga mistakes na to, nagkakaroon ng implication theologically at dun sa interpretation ng scripture, ng text. So, isa dito ay yung mapapansin natin dun sa oldest source, oldest and most complete source ng Gospel of John. Ang tawag sa kanya ay Papyrus 66. So itong kopya na ito ng John ay siguro mga 200 CE siya ginawa. Tapos mayroong isang female na biblical scholar na nag-focus dun sa papyrus na ito. At siya ay si Elizabeth Schrader. So, isang Amerikana. So, may nakita siyang mga bagay na kakaiba dun sa Papyrus 66. So, sabi niya, yung sa Papyrus 66, very evident yung pagpapalit ng pangalang Maria, Mary, sa Martha. So, pinalitan nila yung pangalan ni Mary sa Martha. So, halimbawa, dun sa John 11 verses 1 onwards, very evident na talagang kinocross out yung salitang Maria. So, papalitan lang nila dahil sa isang letter lang, yung I, papalitan nila ng faith. Yung iota, papalitan nila ng faith. So, Martha na, hindi na Maria. Tapos, ang nangyayari, dahil dito, yung mga bagay na sinasabi at ginagawa ni Maria Magdalena ay na-associate ngayon kay Martha. Hindi lang yun, very deliberate kasi nagko-cross out sila, tapos pati yung mga, alam mong in-edit siya, dahil pati yung mga verbs na iba. So from singular, dahil Maria lang, nagiging plural dahil the sisters na, Maria and Martha. So, alam mong in-edit talaga siya. So, for example, dun sa John chapter 11 verse 3, sabi doon, therefore, yung original Therefore, Mary sent to him saying, Lord, behold, the one you love is ill. It was changed to so the sister sent a message to Jesus, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Her name, Mary Magdalene's name, is totally scratched out and it is changed to the sisters. So, ano yung nangyari ulit? Recall natin. So, una, a woman's name is completely erased. And second, all the verbs are changed from singular to plural to adjust these changes. So, Mary was made Martha. So, ano ba? Ito ba ay human error lamang? So, sabi ng mga experts, hindi raw. Dahil itong Papyrus 66 ay source ng textual source na very critical dun sa discussion ng Johannine theology. So, hindi posible na ito ay human error. Ito ay deliberate na pagbubura ng pangalan ng isang character. So, send na lang natin yung link. So, bakit nga ba yung mga concerned tayo dito sa pagpapalit nitong pangalan ni Maria Magdalena? So, wait lang. Please note na hindi natin binubura yung character ni Martha. Hindi lang siya belong sa Gospel of John. Buhay pa rin ang character ni Martha, pero dun siya sa Gospel of Luke. So, Martha is a real character in the Gospel of Luke. She's not even a sister to Lazarus. And she is an awesome character herself. So, bakit ba ina-attribute kay Martha itong mga bagay na sinasabi at ginagawa ni Maria? Because Mary Magdalene is a very controversial character. This may be because of her status. She is thought to be a leader in the Jesus movement. For example, sabi dun sa Gospel of Mary, there is a certain Mary, generally accepted as Mary Magdalene, who is frequently mentioned as being more beloved by Jesus than the others. This caused debates, of course. And itong character ni Mary, very controversial, kaya kailangan siyang i-edit out dito sa text na ito ng John. Kung mapapansin natin, hindi ito dun lamang sa portion na yun ng scripture. Kahit yung paraan ng pag-interpret sa mga bagay na sinasabi ni Maria Magdalena ay iniiba rin. For example, dito sa text na binasa natin kanina, dun sa John chapter 20, yung second motive doon, yung second part na hindi na natin binasa kanina, sabi dun sa verse 16, nung nakita ni Maria Magdalena si Jesus, sabi niya, Rabboni. So, it is often, this Aramaic word is often translated as didaskale or a teacher. However, early manuscripts translates Rabboni more as Kurie, yung kinakanta natin, Kyrie eleison, or Lord, as opposed to teacher. And this is supported by some philological, text critical, exegetical evidence. At kahit yung mga church fathers may sinulat patungkol dito. Pero bakit ba nag-geek out ka dun sa Rabboni na yun? Eh ano naman kung teacher at hindi Lord yung translation dun sa text na binigay nung gospel writers ng John? Dahil, this is something to do with how Mary Magdalene would look. Kapag ka teacher ang translation dun sa Rabboni, it may be argued that Mary Magdalene was not very intelligent and that she had a poor insight into the identity of the risen Lord. Teacher lang ang tingin mo sa kanya. Eh yung character ni Jesus as a teacher, sa unang mga chapters pa ng John, eh alam naman natin, BTS people, ang John ay makikita natin doon yung Christology na from below and ascending. So makikita natin yung development nung idea kung sino ba si Jesus dun sa Gospel of John. So, pag yung translation ay teacher, ibig sabihin, hindi nag-develop yung idea ni Mary Magdalene patungkol kay Jesus. Alam nga ba ni Maria Magdalena na si Jesus ay Panginoon? Balikan natin yung John 11 kanina. So, this time, papalitan natin yung mga salitang Martha ng Mary. So, sa original, Martha said to Jesus, pero ngayon basahin natin siya as, Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Mary said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Mary said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. This Christological confession made by Mary was akin to the Petrine confession. She knows that Jesus is the Messiah. She believes that he is the Son of God. She witnessed how Lazarus came back to life. She believes so much that she stayed. She held on to the end. Thus, she became the first witness to the resurrection. It was not incidental. She was a true believer, a true disciple, an apostle of Jesus. But, like the problem we still have today, her contributions were diminished, if not erased. Why? Because Mary is too much for her time. She supports the Jesus movement. She is a disciple. Imagine a woman having a faith and status like that of Peter the Rock. There are studies that and account wherein Mary is called Magdalene, not because she is from Magdala, but because Magdala means tower. She is a toweress, a magnified one. As Peter is the rock, so Mary is the tower. She is too much, so her name had to be removed and replaced. She is too much, so she has to be dumped down to one not understanding who Jesus is. She is too much that even if she is the first witness, her story has to be edited so a man was given the chance to touch the resurrected Lord. Diba? Meron dun sabi, do not touch me. She is too much, so she has to be silenced, stigmatized, and suppressed. And what do we do when we discover stories like this? How can we find meaning? Where can we find Easter in the silence, struggle, and suppression? Nung alam namin ang may alam dun sa nakasulat dun sa papyrus 66, si Gordon Fee, kung familiar yung iba dyan. Alam niya yon, may comment nga siya patungkol dun eh. Pero ano yung nangyari after malaman nila yung ganitong deviation? Wala. So, nothing is done. Footnote lang nandun sa baba. Text critical. Yan. So, remember that you will be silenced. Kagaya ng ginawa kay Maria Magdalena. Tayo na nasa nagpapatuloy ng Jesus movement, we will always be silenced. You see, there were other women in scriptures whose stories may be different from what you think. There's Elizabeth, Mary of Joseph, Andrew James, Salome, who were also at the foot of the cross. But all their stories were edited out to keep them on their places and to keep their silence. Women, the LGBTQIA community, indigenous people, our workers, farmers, these are just a few groups that were being silenced by the existing powers in the world. We have the desaparecidos, our political prisoners, personalities like Laida de Lima, Pura Luna, and others. The story of Jesus' death reminds us that if we challenge those in power, we will surely be silenced. As a woman, a unionist, and a scholar, I remind myself how every day is a risk. Sabi nga nung asawa ko nung nakaraan, mahirap pala maging babae dito sa Pilipinas. How we will surely, you know, we will surely be silenced and we will always be in danger. Some of you know why Jeb and I are here. How I was kicked out of the church where I got baptized, where I started ministry, and where I served for more than a decade. Because I commented first at the welfare. So actually, 10 years ako doon, pero hindi ako recognized na employee. Samantalang, lalaki, kapapasok lang, wala pang 1 month, regular na, with all the benefits and all. So, char. But we find na, ano, syempre, not comfort dito sa katotohanan na to. With the fact that we will always be silenced. But with them silencing us, we find affirmation. Kasi, ibig sabihin nun, we are disturbing the peace, the norm. That they are concerned about our presence, our actions, and our mere existence. Be affirmed that what you are shouting are heard because those in positions of advantage are being affected. So, actually, after nung encounter ko na yon, nung kinatasik na nila ako, may mga volunteers na sumunod. And salamat sa Diyos, maayos naman yung benefits nila after nun. So, hindi na ako, pero at least sila okay na. Find beauty in the struggle. It is in small communities where big movements are formed. Remember how the Jesus movement started. Keep in mind the beginnings of our denomination, of our church, of Open Table MCC. A small group of people with minds unafraid to question, a community where those who are oppressed is at their heart and whose hands are never doubtful to help, can be something. Ika nga, a small drop may ripple to form a wave too strong not to be ignored. The journey may be hard, it may be long and frustrating, but we have to keep on. We will find stories of people finding hope with our actions, people finding families, community in our midst. We will hear whispers of joy, of love in our midst. We will be connected to people who will be of significance in reference to our mission. The struggle is real, but as long as we have each other, and as long as we press on, kaya natin to. Stay, come out, and see the resurrection. Giyahin natin yung mga kababaihan na naghintay sa paanan ng krus. Women are, you know, great contributors in the Jesus movement, and women are the ones who stayed at the foot of the cross at that time when all the rest of men went running away. And because they stayed on, they were the first witnesses. Come out wherever you are, just like these women. Face the darkness. Walk towards the tomb. Be comfortable in your doubts and fear, in death, in sadness. Come to choose to come out rather than hide in fear. Bagamat maigsi lamang, paano na yung, halimbawa, edukasyon ng mga kababaihan kung walang katulad ng mga kababaihan ng malolos? Paano na yung karapatang politikal kung wala yung women's suffrage movement sa iba't ibang bansa? Kung wala ang mga kampanyador, mga namumuno sa kilusang mapagpalaya, mga kapwa-kababaihan nagtataguyod ng karapatang politikal, economic panlipunan, pangkalusugan at iba pa, mga concerns ng mga kapwa-kababaihan, ano na kaya yung magiging sitwasyon ng mga babae ngayon? Kung walang haharap sa mga kalalakihang nasa podium, nasa pulpito, nasa trono, nasa posisyon ng lipunan, paano natin mailalahad ang kalagayan ng mga kababaihan? Choose to come out rather than hiding fear. Choose to speak, to shout, rather than remain in silence. Choose to lead rather than remain to be a slave because of inequalities and injustices. Face the darkness. Face the grimness of the situation, face the tomb, face death, for only then will we be reminded of life. As we are being reminded that Jesus has triumphed over death, we must also remember those who came before us in struggling against oppression. We have a great cloud of witnesses before us. In the light of the fight for justice and equality, we will choose to remember and to press on. We will continue until every young girl, until every queer kid will be comfortable with themselves, until all will feel safe, and all will be happy Easter.